This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Is this in celebration that you're back today?
Yeah, I just had way too much fun picking music.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 Party Line on your Friday. And, boy, do we have a busy Friday. Today is presented by TC Trailers. If you are not pulling a TC trailer, you are not pulling your weight. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Marchand's Window Tinting in Antioch, they stick it where the sun shines. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon. Big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com and Clinton Carroll, Boone County Daily News.com, your free local online newspaper. The online telecast at HoosierLandTV.com. That's brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoop's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, SAMIM Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoop's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, the Community Foundation serving Howard, Clinton, and Carroll counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, and Town and Country Glass. We do have a guest in studio today, Emily Hemmersbach with the Community Foundation, and she is the Marketing and Communications Director. But really quickly first, we are underway with the 12 Days of Christmas for the children in our community here. So we wanted to go ahead and get out the winners today. And from Avery Home Furniture and Appliances, Eileen Nunez, Center Township Trustee's Office, Daisy Snyder, Ellis Jewelers, Jules Fickle, from Jimmy John's, Harper Selesky, I don't know if I said that right, but it's close, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, Gatlin Batts, from Pepe's Mexican Restaurant, Violet Royer, from ProByte Computers, Nala McDougall, from Skiles Electric, Savannah Howe, from Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Kyra Cobbs, from Wampler Services Incorporated, Colson Royer, and from VFW Post 1110, Kaylin Ray. Those are our winners of things today. Folks clear from Mulberry, Hobart, Frankfurt. So lots of people getting in on the children's 12 days of Christmas to work up to the bicycles on our 12th day. So
yeah,
those are our winners.
It's been pretty cool.
It's been fun, yes.
It has been fun. And I recognize like three names on here. So it's kind of, it makes it even more fun when you know the kids.
Some of the kids that are winning.
Some of the kids that are winning, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have more of that to come. And again, we thank all of our sponsors for helping us get some more toys and goodies to the children of our community. And coming up, of course, we will also have the 12 Strays of Christmas. But first, let's get to our guest, Emily Hemmersbach. Good morning, Emily. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
That's good. 'Tis the holiday season, and you look very festive today.
Thank you. I tried to go Christmassy today since this is my Christmas time with you guys.
Thank you. Yes, I do. I have enough Christmas socks that I can wear a pair of socks about every day.
So I have enough Christmas shirts for the same thing.
Oh, today I have Rudolph. Okay,
there you go.
I have some Rudolph socks on today. The ever important decision of what socks to wear this morning for Christmas holidays. So I am looking at our list of things to talk about today, and once again, there's no shortage of things that you have going on.
Very true.
So Clinton County, we have hit our goal.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm excited now to learn how our sister counties are doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'll preempt this with, we are right in the midst of year-end giving. So we are processing a lot of gifts right now. So all of my numbers today are very much estimated because everything's like in a different stage of processing right now. We get people are so generous around the holidays, and so our team is just working with a lot of checks and trying to keep track of where we're at with different things, and it's not just unrestricted dollars that come in, but people want to support their scholarships and designated funds, so we really appreciate that. It's just such a kindness that donors are so generous around the holidays, and right now, Carroll County is right around, I would say, between 85 and 90%, so we're right on the cusp. We're getting close. I'd say, generously speaking, we're probably around $45,000 left to raise. And then Howard County, we're right at around 90%. We're under $50,000 left to raise. So we're on the home stretch, friends. We are on the home stretch.
We are on the home stretch, but we don't have a lot of time to do it now.
We do not have a lot of time left, no. December 31st is when this match ends. So we want to get all those dollars into our communities. And so, you know, being in touch with us if you're interested in establishing a fund or getting involved in some way, or you just want to give a few dollars, that's super helpful. Every dollar counts in this. It's two-for-one match to unrestricted funds. And like we've talked about, those unrestricted funds do a lot of good in our community. So we want to make sure that we get every dollar we can from Lilly Endowment into those funds. You know, they do things like recently you saw that we were part of a grant for Habitat for Humanity here in Clinton County, which really cool project.
It is.
So excited about that project and getting those 8 houses in here that will be available to some families that we can then get to see them, the kids riding the bikes.
That's the thing. I love seeing them go up. And then yes. Just people being able to say, I've got a home. And it's mm-hmm. a super nice home to boot. Mm-hmm. And what a great thing for our community. We are blessed once again, and we appreciate your help with that.
Yeah. And the cool thing I think about that grant is, you know, people think of grants sometimes, and I think they think of, like, big programs and different things. And in this grant, our part of the grant, the $50,000 that we gave, is going to infrastructure. So it's not – it doesn't sound exciting.
It's not sexy, as we call it.
No, but – necessary. It's really important. And I mean, that's part of the process. And so that's what those unrestricted dollars can do. They do fun things too. They do projects and programs and things like that. But sometimes it is infrastructure that needs to be established so that these houses can be built. And that's just as important to us and to the community.
Well, and that's going to be there for a lifetime.
Yeah.
You can't build them without it.
That's right. A lifetime impact.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what these dollars are doing. If you're questioning in your head what unrestricted means, unrestricted essentially on our side just means they're community funds for Clinton County, for Carroll County, for Howard County that are going to go into a big pool that then we pull, you know, growth off of that pool and we use that as our budget for grants. And then our grants committee looks at all of these different things that come in and we make the decisions based on what we know the community needs are. So unrestricted, but restricted in the sense that there's still a lot of decision making behind this process. You're just, as the donor, giving us permission to utilize your dollars in the way that we know the community needs at that time. So it can fluctuate, it can change, and you know, there's a lot of donors that's big on their hearts. So we really appreciate that, and we hope that if you are interested, you know, now's the time to be in, get in on the 2-for-1 match because it's a great opportunity.
It is a great opportunity. And I actually sat with Kim from Habitat shortly after we were there that day.
Yeah.
And they're so excited.
Yeah.
You have to appreciate folks who are passionate about what they do mm-hmm. and are excited to help the community. And so I appreciated that aspect of it as well, how excited they were to be, you know, let's get some homes up. Let's get some people in some homes.
That's the thing. You hear about Habitat for Humanity. You hear about all the things that they do. And you hear about this home here or mm-hmm. this home here. This is 8 freaking homes.
Yes, it's a huge project.
It's a huge project. So.
Baldwin Court. It's a whole court of houses. Like yeah. That's pretty cool.
You don't hear of that with Habitat most of the time. So,
no, it's amazing.
And that wouldn't happen without the funds, like you said, the infrastructure, the funds that you put towards the infrastructure.
Yeah.
That many homes, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and I just loved that visual when we were there at the groundbreaking of like, oh, you know, in so much time there's going to be kids riding their bikes around this court. And I'm like, you can't beat that.
No, that's a win-win for sure. That's a win-win. Well, okay, folks, so Clinton County is there, but we would like to get Carroll and Howard County there as well. Mm-hmm. So we just got this little extra push.
Yep.
And come on, we can get her done, as we like to say.
I am confident. I think that, you know, there's community members who want to see this finished. So I believe that it's going to happen. And we're going to push forward.
Emily Himmersbach is the Marketing and Communications Director for the Community Foundation, and she is our guest on Party Line today.
I know, you know, talking about the unrestricted funds, you guys, the last time you were here, you were pretty freaking excited because you were getting ready to go out and dump out a bunch of checks.
The big checks, as we like to say.
So how have you been able to service all the grants now that you had for the year, and kind of give us an idea just how much you guys have put into the communities here.
Yeah, so we don't have the final number yet. I'm still working on that, but it is well over $4 million this year between all three counties. So
wow.
That went back into the community. So that's really exciting.
Those are big numbers.
They're huge numbers. And all of that is, you know, you think about, I think about legacy when I hear that, because this started, so Clinton County is going to be celebrating its 30th anniversary next year as the community foundation. You know, Howard County is going to be celebrating 35 years. So this started 35 years ago. There's people that 35 years ago, you know, put this into place and got this started, and their dollars are still doing that work now. So the beauty of it is the legacy of their dollars that got this started, and now look where we are. You know, it was exciting to do a couple hundred dollar grant back then because, I mean, it started with $10,000. So, I mean, talk about impact.
The numbers, and I know that's 30 years, but that's still a lot of growth in a relatively short amount of time. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. I mean, in the scope of a lifetime, that's a short amount of time, but it speaks to the intention of donors in all three communities, the community members that are committed to their community and their understanding of the importance of permanent endowments and what they do. So, you know, a lot of times people don't know how endowments work, and the beauty of them is the dollar, the principal, the dollar you give continually gives back to the community.
It does. But, you know, we had Mike Tetrault on earlier this week, and one of the things I asked him, and for you folks, maybe you missed the show, but Mike Tetrault from the Wabash and Erie Canal Park was on earlier this week. And one of the things I asked him is, if somebody just handed you $1 million, what would you do with that money? And he had the best answer. He said, I would put it in the community foundation, because he knew his dollars were safe.
Yep.
He knew they were managed well. He knew that it would go on. It would continue the mission of the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a testament to you folks, because we feel safe knowing our money's going there.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, my best example for people in knowing that your dollars are safe, we have 10 staff members that work at the foundation. Three of them have established funds there. They've given thousands of dollars to establish their fund. If you think about your own workplace, you know, not everybody's going to give thousands of dollars back to their workplace.
That's true.
We work inside. We know the inner workings, and we trust the foundation just as much as the public does, because we can see the transparency, the stewardship of the dollars, and you know, we see the audit process happen every year. We get to hear how there's no findings again every year, which, you know, is really unheard of in an organization that holds over $130 million in assets. That's a pretty unheard of thing, to not have any findings in an audit. So we have a amazing finance team that also manages and stewards those dollars well. The transparency part, I think, is really important too to donors, because things are getting harder to trust organizations out there. And so knowing that you can come in, you can request our audit, you can see everything. We want you to be able to feel comfortable as a donor with where your dollars are going. If you want to see where the grants are going, you get fund statements if you establish a fund. We want you to know what's happening with your dollars. Our annual report goes out every year. You guys have seen that. It's big because
it is.
Because we put everything in it. We try to make sure that you get to see every grant that went out. You get to see every fund that's established. You see the donors that are a part of the foundation. You see the staff. You see all of the committees, the names of the people that are on there. You know community members that are involved that are helping run this organization. And so the trust factor is huge. And I think, you know, if anybody has questions, my big thing is if you have doubts or if you have questions about the foundation, if you have heard something that you're like, that seems questionable, come in and talk to us. We'll have a conversation with you, and if you have a concern, we will make sure that we address it.
I've never heard any yet. I haven't. I mean, we're lucky, I think, in that way, because I've heard people in other areas. For example, I had family that lived in Florida for a long time, and when the hurricane came through, they were worried about where to donate their dollars because they just weren't sure it was going to where they wanted it to go to.
It's so hard in
especially
big disasters,
huge disaster like
because
that,
people
right.
take advantage of it.
That's right.
And that's something that I personally do is, you know, whenever I see a big disaster, I look for the community foundation in that area, and then I check if they're accredited. So we're an accredited by national standards community foundation, and a lot of community foundations are. I know what that process entails, and so if I see that they have the accreditation, I'm like, okay, cool. Here's some money.
Yeah, here's where I want my money to go to.
Because I know you're going to get the dollars where they actually need to go in that community. You know, I think about the Hawaii fires. That was one. There was so much happening. I saw a lot of family members on Facebook, you know, trying to figure out where to give their dollars, and so I put out, hey, here's the community foundation in that area. They're accredited. We can trust that they're going to get the dollars where they need to go. They're doing emergency grants. Community foundations jump into action typically when there's a disaster because they know who the helpers are. They know the big players. They know who's boots on the ground, who's going to be able to accomplish the goals, and they're going to get the dollars in those hands.
Very important, I think.
Yes. So it's important to know outside of your own community, you know, that if that's a concern for you, if you see something like that, to do your research and see if you can find a community foundation there, because I think that they're well-established and trusted individuals.
Emily Hammersbach, again, with the Community Foundation, is our guest. Looking ahead, tax-deductible donations for people that maybe, it's getting close to the end of the year. Just as a reminder, if you would like to get those donations in, now is the time.
Yep. You've got until December 31st to do that. So, and we do. I mean, we get donations up until that date, but they have to be in the door by that date. So just make sure that if you want that tax deduction, that you are getting your dollars, whether you just stop by the office and get a check-in. It just all has to be stamped with that date. So make sure that you do that. If you're concerned about mailing it and it not arriving on time, definitely just stop by the office. We're in downtown Kokomo, across from the Kokomo Mantis.
I have in my hand here
a
leadership series that you guys are hosting. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So actually today is the final application date. Applications closing for that. And so we do our leadership series. So far, I think this is our fourth or fifth year doing it. I can't remember, so don't quote me on that. But we have this leadership series. It's something we don't charge our nonprofit leaders for. We pay for it. It's, I think, a $500 to $1,000 value, and it goes from January to June. And they go through everything from board governance, strategic planning, marketing. They even do grant writing. So it's one day a month. They have a cohort that they meet. So it's all three counties. We have the leaders come in. It's usually always waitlisted after all the applications come in. They have an excellent lineup of speakers. I'm sure you recognize some of them. We love Krista Stillwell. I know she's involved in the community, very involved in the community over here. She does an excellent job with the marketing point. And then we have Kim Pinkerton, who Kim and Amy Beachy lead a lot of the process and are oversee the whole class. The opportunity is not just learning opportunity, but a great networking opportunity. I think it's great to rub shoulders with other leaders who are in the same roles or, you know, doing the same things that you're doing, same struggles. Maybe there's things that you guys can work together on. We've seen a lot of that in the counties that we serve, is that collaboration is becoming a really important piece to how we operate as we face loss of funding. You know, how can we pool our resources to do better things for the community. So getting in there and then also just getting to know the Community Foundation, too, is a great opportunity. So we're excited about that. Our 2026 cohort will be announced in January, and it's always just a fantastic group of people.
And today's the last day to get registered.
Yeah, so if you're like, if you've started your application and you haven't finished it, you better get it over to Carrie.
Just saying.
You better get it over to Carrie because, you know, we want to make sure that we have leaders from all three counties that are there, and we want to make sure that we're serving the people that need assistance and just raising good leaders, you know, raising leaders that can lead organizations well.
Well, you know what comes after getting ready for your taxes and all that good stuff? After you've had the Christmas ham and while the dining room table is still clean before you start piling other stuff on it, that's a great time for grandparents and parents to sit down with their students who are juniors and seniors and say, hey, you're going to have to fill this thing out.
Yeah.
And talk about the scholarship and
yeah,
the opening day is coming, and
yeah,
and stuff that they need to be thinking about.
Yeah, so first week of January, that's when scholarship application opens. We were just talking about that off air before we got on air here. This is the time for students to get their applications in. This is the time for our seniors to be thinking about it. And I know, like, it's the beginning of their last semester, but they need to be thinking about it because they're getting ready to go to college, a lot of them. So you need to log on. Here's the cool thing, a couple cool things. You as a grandparent, parent, or student can get on now and hit apply for scholarships and actually scroll to the bottom and start looking at the funds that we have. And most of them have descriptions of what that scholarship does. So you can kind of see, okay, get a scope of, like, how many are for your high school? Because a lot of them are established. So each scholarship is established by a donor, and they all have different intentions, different things that they want to support. A lot of them are, I want to support my high school. So you'll see a lot of them that are for graduates of Clinton Central, for graduates of Rossville. And so just kind of scrolling through there, kind of getting the lay of the land. Here's the beautiful thing, though. You don't have to individually apply for each one.
Thank goodness.
Because there's a lot of them.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
And the cool part, can they go ahead and, like, enter their personal information now and just it saves in there? Or do they have to wait until after January 1st to start that process?
I think they have to wait until after January 1st. They might be able to, like, make an account. I think they might be able to make an account on there, but nothing is open until that point in time. And then it's open from the beginning of January until March 1st. So they have 2 months, but students,
don't wait.
No, please don't. Because here's the thing. You need to start it in the beginning of January because you don't know, you know, depending on the scholarships that you are eligible for, and the system will help you figure that out, you might need some references and stuff. And you don't want to put those people on, like, oh, hey, tomorrow it's due.
Yeah.
Because that's really tough. And you're not going to get the kind of reference that you want if you wait until the last minute. So get in there, you know, in the beginning of January. Figure out what you're eligible for. The system's going to do it for you. You just have to do one application, many opportunities, that's what we say.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will tell you, and then you'll know what you need to do. You know, is there essays? Is there references I need? And you'll be able to connect with the people that you need to connect with.
Well, the cool part, too, I mean, get it done now, January 1st. Do it over the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, granted, it's not the fun thing, but get it done. Get it out of your way because you're looking at February and March.
Yeah.
But you got to do FAFSA and all that good mm-hmm. financial side of mm-hmm. that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a nightmare. So, you know.
Tell us how you really feel.
Do the easy part first.
Yeah, so I was going to say the Community Foundation one is not a nightmare. So
yeah.
get it done. Get
exactly.
it get it out of the way.
You want to hear nightmare stories, call me after the show. I will tell you what it's like to fill out 30 million scholarships back in the day, and now you don't have to do that.
Yes.
So nice.
Yes. Yeah, we try to make it simple for our students. And here's the thing. We want it simple because you have to know as community members that we want those dollars to get out. We don't want to keep them. And if you don't apply, students, I just beg you, please apply because there's very specific scholarships sometimes that, you know, are for very specific things. And sometimes if we don't have a student that is eligible for that because they're, you know, maybe it's the field that they're going into. A lot of them have to do with the field that you're going into. Then we can't give it out unless we have a student that fits the bill for that scholarship. So don't count yourself out because not all of the scholarships are, top of their class. We want the top of their class student. Yeah. In fact, most of them are based more on what the student wants to do, where the student's coming from, where they're going for school. There's all different. You can scroll through and see the different, things that the scholarships are for.
Yeah, you don't have to have a 4.0 GPA.
Right.
At all. To fill out scholarships. Believe me, I know one of my kids wasn't a 4.0.
And it should be.
Neither was I.
You should be making it your job in your senior year.
Yeah.
To get those dollars in so that you can, you know, ease that burden on yourself, ease that burden on your parents, because there's money available. So let's get those dollars back out in the community.
Emily Himmersbach, Marketing and Communications Director for the Community Foundation, has been our guest on Party Line today. And again, folks, we are in the short rows for Carroll and Howard County, so we've got about approximately $45,000 left to raise in Carroll County and a little less than $50,000 in Howard County in about 3 weeks to do it, I would say. So hopefully we can hit that mark and get these dollars in our communities.
Yeah.
Hopefully. How can they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me a couple different ways or one of our team members. So we are at 215 West Sycamore Street in Kokomo. You can call us at 765-454-7298, or you can go to our website, CF Howard, CF Carroll, CFClinton.org. Lots of different ways to get in contact with us. If you just want to keep up with what's happening, our Facebook page is the place to be. So
it is a very good Facebook
page. We keep things up to date. We try to share with you what's going on at the foundation, links and all that good stuff. In fact, if you go on there right now, you'll get to see our cute windows that the Cervantes brothers did, which are adorable. So go check that out and just stay in touch with us. And if you need us, call us and we'll get you to the right person.
All right.
Next time you're on, hopefully we'll have
more to share with the scholarships.
I'll have some fun news. I'll have lots of news. And I would say, I mean, let's just real quick before I get off air, let's just break the glass on this. Everybody wants to know the Lilly Scholars, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're still waiting, too. We know the students that were selected, but there's a process in the background that has to happen. So if you're listening and you're like, man, I really wanted to know what the Lilly Scholars are, I promise you we want to tell you, but we have to get through the process and there's some approvals we're waiting on. And as soon as we have those, we're going to share them with the community. So
and
it's coming.
Big checks. Like physically
more
big
checks. There's going to be all kinds of good stuff. Bethany will probably be with me in January to talk about scholarships more. So if you have questions, you have students that have questions, it'll be a good time. We're excited.
Do you want to hang around for the 12 Strays of Christmas? It's just a couple minutes.
Okay.
Because I know you like animals, too.
I love animals.
All right. So we've got Pam on the line from the Humane Society and Paw Pals of Clinton County for the 12 Strays of Christmas, brought to you by Day and Ginda Funeral Home and TC Trailers. Good morning, Pam. How are you today?
I am good. How are you?
We are so good. We're always excited to hear who our pet of the day for the 12 Strays of Christmas is going to be.
Okay, well, let me start out by saying it's not always black and white. Sometimes it's a black and brown swirl, and that is what Boots is. And I'll give you three guesses how he got his name Boots, but the first two don't count.
I'm guessing he might have some colored feet, either white or black.
His toes and feet are white. Boots is kind of his story is a little bit of a sad one. Michelle was notified on July 29th that he was in a car, and the heat index that day was 107.
Ooh.
And I guess his person was unhoused, and they got him out of the car, and, you know, they took immediate measures to get his temperature down, and he came around, you know, real well. So he's been at the shelter ever since. He's kind of a sad little fella. I mean, he likes, you know, you go by his kennel and he whines a little bit. He just needs a home so bad. And he loves other dogs. I feel like I'm doing a dating profile here, but
we kind of are.
He's 4 years old and he only weighs 58 pounds. So I think maybe when he gets in a home, he might gain a little bit more weight, but he's not a real big guy. Loves other dogs, loves rolling in the grass and leaves. He likes hiking and exploring. And he rides pretty well in the car after he gets that first few minutes of excitement wears off. He's great with kids. And he just says no to cats. So cats are a no. And he's a great little walker. He's one of those that, you know, we just every time we go by, we're going to find you at home. You just wait. So, yeah, people need to look him up. He's a cute guy. And he's, the black and white little, they call the brindle, but, you know, I had to dress it up a little bit. he is just super cute, and like I said, walks well on a leash.
And I encourage folks to check out dog. You know, I had my best friend was just sure she wanted a certain type of dog, and I said, just come out and check the dogs out at the shelter. And she gave in and came out, and she ended up falling in love with a dog that was nothing like the original dog that she. It's like wedding dresses. Yeah. People go into wedding dress shopping thinking, oh, I know what I want, but then they try one on and it's nothing like they thought. It's kind of the same thing.
Go in with an open mind.
Yes, do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and
because it just takes one look, and it's hard to go out there and try to choose because they're all wonderful in my book. But one might just tug at your heartstrings, and like you say, you might want a 5-pound dog and end up taking home a 55-pounder.
Yes, that's absolutely true. All right. Well, how can they get a hold of you guys and come and check out Boots?
Yes. Well, you can go. The phone number is 765-670-7924, Facebook Messenger, or email is cchf04@fccglobal.net.
All right, and we've been putting our stray of the day with the 12 strays of Christmas up on our Facebook page and also on Clinton, Carroll, and Boone County Daily News.com. So you can check them out as well. And we are trying to clear the shelters for the holidays. Pam, we appreciate you so much. You got an ending quote for me today?
Yeah, I want to remind everybody again, through December 12th, all dogs that are currently at the shelter and available for adoption, their adoption fee is sponsored by what we like to call our food fairy. So, now would be a good time to go out and check the dogs and cats out. There's probably about 20 cats that are Caesar sponsored also.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
No. So let me leave you with this. A dog's heart speaks in a language of loyalty that needs no translation.
That's absolutely true. Well, 12 Strays of Christmas brought to you by Day and Ginda Funeral Home and TC Trailers. Pam, thank you so much. We look forward to talking with you again on Monday.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Have a great weekend. All right. Emily, thank you so much as well. We hope you have a great weekend and a good holiday.
Yeah, you guys too. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy New Year. We'll see you when scholarship season opens.
All right. We'll
sounds
be.
Good.
We'll take a break.
Yeah, just a quick update, just so you know how the 12 strays have been working. And just, this makes day 5, but in 4 days, 6 of those 46 animals have adoptions pending already.
Oh, thank goodness.
So, yes.
All right, well, thanks to the folks that are actually checking the animals out there and going out and helping us clear the shelter through the holiday season here. So, you're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best at 102.7.